This is Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary.
Hi everyone, it's Holly from Pretty Big Butterflies and Holly Plus, and you're listening to Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary. Today I'm joined by the lovely Faye, who's going to share her IVF journey with us. Thank you so much for being here today, Faye. It's lovely to talk to you.
Now, hello.
Hello. Now, I understand you're a mummy to two gorgeous little girls, is that right?
I am, yes, to Erin and Edith, who are 8 and 1.
Oh, 8 and 1. Oh my gosh, yep. You've got a really tiny one.
Yeah.
Amazing. I have a 3-year-old and a just turned 2-year-old.
Ooh, tricky one.
So very close together, but lots of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
So I understand that both your pregnancies were through IVF, is that right?
Yes, they were. I was diagnosed with polycystic ovaries. Erin was from my first marriage, and I stopped taking the pill at 20 when I got married. And unfortunately, we tried for 3 years for Erin and went to the doctors, had loads of tests, etc., and they diagnosed me with polycystic ovaries. So then my journey started there.
Okay. And would you mind just letting any listeners know, or and letting me know, what is IVF? Can you explain it in your own words?
Yeah, so IVF seems really daunting, and it's not as bad as people make out.
Yes.
The first thing that seems really daunting is basically when you get booked in for IVF, you get sent what looks like a mammoth amount of drugs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they literally came to my office because they had to be refrigerated, and I had a box bigger than a chair. It was huge. And it's literally looks so scary, but actually when you break it all down, they're all taken at different times and things like that. So your first part of IVF is injecting yourself. That was actually the worst part for me because I hate injections. But other than that, so you inject yourself for 2 weeks. That then matures the eggs inside you. Within that time, you have internal ultrasounds, which aren't as bad as people make out either. I've had hundreds of them, and now I'm so used to them, it's untrue.
Also, when people are pregnant or do fall pregnant, you would definitely get used to those as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I had lots of those. They make sure all your eggs are matured and the right size and shape, etc. And then you will be booked in to have your eggs taken out of you. When you have them taken out, I am one that has something that is insane to many people. I make ridiculous amounts of eggs through IVF.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my second time I went down in their history books for making 52.
Oh my gosh, please, they need to put you in the Guinness Book of Records.
Well, their average is 10.
Wow, hold on a second. So their average is 10, and how many did you make?
52.
Wow, well done.
Thank you. I mean, I did end up in hospital, but I will get to that afterwards. So they take out your eggs. With Erin, I think I had about 20. They take them out, and then they basically wash them in a dish under a microscope for 3 to 5 days. Okay. 3 days, they can put them in viably. 5 days is better because then they go to something called blastocyst, which basically means they're like super A-grade eggs.
Okay.
And you've got a higher chance of getting pregnant through that.
Okay.
So Erin was a blastocyst, and she was then put in, and then they basically, on the day that they put your eggs in, you're not knocked out or anything like that. You're just slightly sedated, and they put them in, and then they go, okay, let us know in 2 weeks.
Oh my god.
And you stand up and think, are they gonna fall out of me?
Yeah.
It is like the weirdest sensation ever. They literally say, okay, let us know, and all you have to do is ring them.
Wow.
So you take a normal pregnancy test 2 weeks later and ring them with your result.
Well, that's incredible, isn't it? To be honest, I didn't know the kind of the detail of it, really, or have never spoken to someone who's been through it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an incredible process, isn't it?
It's just, people seem to think that it's really in depth, and actually it's not that complex once you've been through it.
Yeah.
I mean, it can get more complex. Like with Edith, I ended up having to freeze my eggs because there was so too many, and I ended up in hospital. But basically, once you've frozen your eggs, the process is the same again, just without the first injection and taking your eggs away.
Okay.
So the process is the same effectively, you just end up freezing them in the middle.
Okay, and like you said, I guess it can be slightly different for everyone, depending on your individual situation, circumstances. So how did you, so I know you said that you had a PCOS, is that right?
Yeah.
And so was that when you was diagnosed with that, is that when you realised that you needed IVF, or did you have a bit of a journey before that where you tried to conceive and
apparently, according to our doctor's surgery, there's something called the magic three, which when you're trying for a baby and nothing's happening, they wait for a year and wait for you to come in three times before they refer you. And then once you've been into them three times, they'll then refer you on. I then went to our local hospital, which did fertility, and they then basically put me on a number of drugs, something called metformin and something called it's just gone out of my mind.
Well, it's amazing you're remembering the name, to be honest. Remembering the names a year or almost 2 years later is incredible.
That was from Erin, so that's 8 years ago. it's Clomid and metformin, and they basically are things to try and make you ovulate. But one lovely nurse who was amazing said to me, "Oh, I think you're the most broken 24-year-old I've ever seen." And I was like, "Oh, thank you."
Wait, hold on a second. Say that again. She said what?
That I was the most broken 24-year-old she'd ever seen.
I'm so sorry that you've had to hear that. I wonder if other people...
Do you know what, though? She was so lovely, I would have accepted anything she said.
Oh, no.
She was the most lovely person.
I think sometimes you have to just let things go, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But the doctor literally turned to me, opened his book and said, "When would you like IVF? This isn't working." And that's literally how simple it was. He tried a few things and then diaried me in.
Wow. And how did that make you feel? So when you was kind of trying to conceive, and then what they said to you was the three tries.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of right, okay, this is now the route that you have to go down. How did you feel about that?
It wasn't so much when he told me that I'd have to go for IVF. I was much more positive than I had been. But I remember one day I'd gone to my mum's house, and three of our friends, like family friends, had come round with three of their really young babies. And that night I just remember sitting and sobbing all night, thinking, will that ever happen to me? So once I'd actually been told I could have IVF, that for me was like a glimmer of light, whereas previously nothing had seemed to work.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can imagine it's given you another opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I felt like just nothing was going to work for me. And I hadn't ever thought about the theory of IVF and that was an option for me. So in the end, I was like so thankful for the fact that I'd been given that. And I don't know whether it had something to do with my age at the time, but I was really positive about the fact that I'd been offered IVF.
Yeah, because I think it can be quite difficult, can't it?
It definitely was worse before they'd offered me that. But I think as I've got older, which is terrible, I'm more world-wise and therefore more negative about the result. So when I tried for Edith, Erin was six when we were trying, and I was just really negative about the whole situation. I was like, what if it doesn't work this time? I was so lucky first time. What if? So I think second time was a lot worse because I was a lot older mind-wise.
Yeah, I can understand. And I think that sometimes a lot of things, isn't it? And
yeah.
I think sometimes pregnancies or trying to get pregnant, the second time, if things went well the first time, it's almost like you over-worry that, hold on, could this happen twice? Was it just fate the first time?
Yeah, exactly what happened. Yeah, that's exactly what happened, because Erin was a breeze to get pregnant with. I always said, if I could get pregnant, and once I got pregnant, I was a breeze, and getting pregnant with Erin was just... I went down 1, 2, 3 of IVF, and that was that. Edith was a whole other story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it was more difficult for one than it was for the other.
Yeah. So I had 3 attempts with Edith. Wow. She was my 3rd attempt.
So with your first pregnancy, it was 1 attempt.
Yep.
And then with your second child, it was 3 attempts.
Yep. And what happens is as you get older in the IVF world, they put more eggs in. So with Erin, I only had 1 egg put in. And here she is. With Edith, every single time they put 2 eggs in.
Wow.
So effectively, it was like 5 of them not working and 1 working.
Oh, wow. And how long did that, if you don't mind me asking, how long did that process take?
Okay, so I attempted to get pregnant with Edith when Erin was 5. So let me just work. So about 3 years ago. The whole process, we had to go private because I was no longer childless. So with IVF terms, it's very much postcode lottery. And where you are, once you have a child or one of you has a child, you are no longer childless. Therefore, you have to pay for it.
Oh, okay. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, it's the most bizarre thing because when I was having Erin, they were like, oh, you get 1 attempt free on the NHS. If you want another, you need to move to like Newcastle.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, it's literally a postcode lottery. In Newcastle, you get 3 attempts. And I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, I'll have a little think.
So bizarre. But yeah, with Edith, we knew we were going to have IVF. We went through the process. I went to see my original doctor and wanted to go with him privately. So that process was all fine. So my first time with Edith, I had the normal process, and there was something that they never spoke to me about with Erin, which is called ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, which is basically me processing too many eggs. Okay. So what happened is they took my eggs out of me. When they rang me, they were like, you need to be so careful because you're at high risk of ovarian hyperstimulation. If this happens, we'll have to freeze your eggs. You will know it happens because you will be sick and you will grow in size. And I was like, right, okay. Now, I'm very slight. I'm a size 10. I'm 5'3". I'm not big. You literally, as soon as I started to put on weight, I was like, okay, this is bizarre. I ended up 1 meter in circumference. And the morning I was due to have my eggs put back in, I was vomiting all day and Matt had to take me to hospital. I was then in hospital for 1 week and they basically had to monitor me because what happens is the fluid out of your ovaries where your eggs have been tries to refill and it seeps into the rest of your body. So all your body does is ends up with masses of fluid.
Oh, goodness.
And they basically have to monitor you so it doesn't like flood your lungs. But my kidneys stopped working. I was in horrendous pain. I couldn't eat. I was on anti-sickness. I was having panic attacks. It was horrendous. But that doesn't happen to, like, it's ridiculously rare that that happens.
Yeah, and of course, your first time when really swimmingly.
Yeah. So when that happened, I was really shocked and was a bit like, what has happened? And then they had to freeze all my eggs, which, because I hadn't had that with Erin, that scared me. I was a bit like, okay, what happens when you unfreeze them? What if they don't work? Are they any less, like, is there a lesser chance of them working?
Yeah.
And they did say there is a lesser chance of them working when they're frozen because some of them can't unfreeze themselves and they end up dying. So I started out with 49 eggs matured and made into embryos. They froze them, and when they defrost some of them, the first 4 that they defrosted didn't make it. So after I was all better, they have to wait 3 months. So then I had my first 2 eggs put in, and I knew from 3 days after them putting them in that it hadn't worked.
Oh, really?
Yep. It was bizarre. One day I woke up and I felt different.
You just felt different.
Yep. And I said to Matt, this is different. I'm not pregnant. And he was like, how do you know? Don't be ridiculous. I was like, I'm not. And I spoke to a girl at work who had twins through IVF. And she said with her first 2 attempts, she had the exact same, where she woke up one day and felt different.
That's incredible, isn't it? Sometimes it's that sixth sense, isn't it? Sometimes
yeah.
You can have that sixth sense, they do.
It was just bizarre. So my first attempt was with Edith, I ended up in hospital. Second attempt, I completely felt different. My third attempt, they put two eggs in. And they then said to us, give us a call. I tested at 12 days, which is very naughty in the world of IVF. You should test at 14, but I couldn't wait any longer. And I was pregnant, and I was very, very strongly pregnant. So really? I assumed it was twins because I assumed both of them had attached. So I then had to obviously wait for scans, etc., to confirm it. But it was so strong. I was like, oh my God, it's twins. So that was my third attempt and I was pregnant with Edith.
That is incredible. I feel like you've been through this emotional roller coaster. I feel like I'm going through one just listening to you. Like, that's such an incredible story. So if there was anyone else kind of thinking about IVF, and based on what you've been through, and you've gone through it, you've had two successful pregnancies, and obviously you had three attempts with your second child.
Yeah.
What tips would you give to people who are thinking about taking that journey, or maybe were on that journey now?
The main tip I would give you is try with all of your might to go into it with a positive attitude. Because the moment you start thinking negatively, I genuinely believe that has an effect on your body. The second time I had it with Edith, I was completely and utterly horrendously negative. I was having panic attacks. I was stressing myself out with it. And in the end, the third attempt, I was like, look, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And I just got on with it. First time with Erin, I lay down solidly for 2 weeks. I literally lay on the sofa and went to bed for 2 weeks straight because I knew somebody who'd done that.
Yeah.
And I did it second time with Edith and it didn't work. And so third time I went completely back to my normal day to day. And I was like, look, if it works, it's meant to be. And I'm going to carry on the way I should be. Take things obviously less strenuously. Don't go scrubbing the house. But I just was really like, right, okay, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I think being negative has a massive effect on what your body does.
Yeah, I agree. I think stress as well. Stress has a massive impact on how your body kind of just feels as well, I think.
Well, yeah, definitely. Because I've heard so many people have had IVF and then have got pregnant really soon after their first. And everyone says, well, it's because you've stopped stressing about it.
Yeah, I do wonder, because when I first got pregnant, I had taken 1 month, well, 3 months sabbatical off work.
Yeah.
And it was the first time as an adult I had never been to work and had just no stress and was just very relaxed. And I got pregnant and I was like, when people ask me what I did, like, literally I just reduced my stress and just chilled out for a bit and amazingly somehow got pregnant.
Yeah, I think it is one of those things that it has a massive effect on your body, unfortunately, because it's really hard to control. Yeah.
When you're on your IVF journey, whether that's at the very beginning when you're contemplating going for IVF or when you're actually going through it, do you think you can prepare yourself in any way for things not working out? Is there any way you can, other than trying to think positively, is there any other way you can prepare yourself just in case?
I would say accept a counsellor, because with Edith second time I needed that. First time they were like, oh, we'll give you a counsellor just in case it doesn't work. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Second time with Edith, I was very much, I need the help and taking the help. So be prepared to take the help that's given. And if someone wants to come around and cook you dinner and somebody wants to come around and do your ironing, let them. So be prepared to take any help given.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And I think that's great for any, whether you're pregnant, going through IVF, or you're a new mum, always try and take that help. I think sometimes we try and be so strong, don't we?
Yeah, and you'll just end up in a massive fluster.
Yeah, just take that help. I mean, if someone wanted to do my ironing now, I would not say no.
No, exactly. I would snap their arm off.
Exactly. And so what was your partner like then throughout the journey? How did he feel about things? And did you talk a lot? Did you communicate a lot?
Yeah, so, well, he obviously was Matthew is my second husband. So he obviously knew that Erin was IVF, and I've never, ever kept that a secret. She, like, if you ask her how she was made, she says, I'm a special baby, I'm an IVF baby.
Oh, I love that.
Well, I don't want her to feel embarrassed about it, because polycystic ovaries is hereditary. So yeah, if she ends up with it and needs IVF, I don't want her to feel sad about that. I want her to be like, well, I was an IVF baby, I can have my babies.
Exactly. I love that. It's about not being embarrassed. You know, this is the process that so many people have to go through. And there's nothing for anyone to be embarrassed about at all.
Exactly. But other than that, I spoke to him the whole time. I was like, this is what happened with Erin. I will need IVF again if we have children. So he was always very much of the he was always very knowledgeable that that would happen, and he knew the ins and outs of it, and I'd explained how it worked. So I don't think he was fearful of it. Matt is a very down the line, straight to it guy. He's an accountant, so he very much goes, right, this is A and this is B, one of them is going to happen. So he's quite positive in things like that, luckily, because he kept me on the straight and narrow too.
Amazing. I think if you have a partner around or you have family around, it's always a good idea to keep talking to people throughout the process from the beginning to the end, and when the baby arrives. I think communication is such an important part of just feeling better about any situation, isn't it?
Yeah, I completely agree.
So obviously your two little ones are here now and living their best life, I imagine. Did IVF affect your pregnancy? So I know when you first get pregnant, no one really knows what to expect. So it's a bit like, is this right? What's going on? Are my feet supposed to swell? You know, you're all over the place, really. But do you feel like IVF affected either of your pregnancies?
So with Erin, not at all. Basically, as soon as you've rang that hospital to tell them that you are pregnant, you are no longer, you don't even have to tell the midwives their IVF if you don't want to. It's you're a normal pregnancy as far as that is concerned. IVF doesn't make you a special pregnancy, anything like that. The only thing that made it different was with Edith, obviously I had two eggs put in, and I said to you about the really strong feelings that she was a twin. So I started bleeding at 5 weeks. So I went to the hospital, I was like, right, I'm bleeding. And she scanned me and said, you were pregnant with twins. And I was like, right, okay. And she said, the one is absolutely fine. It's the one underneath that is coming away from you. So that is what it is. So I suppose that's one thing that could affect it. You could lose one of the babies and not keep the other. So if you have two eggs put in, that is one thing that I was really panicky that I was bleeding, thinking that I was losing Edith.
Yeah, of course.
But actually, in a way, I was actually really I was actually really happy that I still had my one baby.
No, that doesn't sound awful at all.
I feel really bad because technically I lost the baby, but I was like, well, I've got one happy, healthy baby. Yeah. So to me, it wasn't a sad process, because if I ever say to people, oh, she was a twin, they go, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, well, no, because she's here and she's healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes having that positive thought side of it is what you need sometimes to get through situations like that.
Yeah, completely. I wouldn't have minded if she was a twin, and I'm just happy that she's here. And apparently that's the reason why she's left-handed, because apparently if a baby dies in a womb and the other one survives, they tend to turn out left-handed.
Well, I've heard
it happens to be true.
I've heard twins are left and right-handed, so maybe that could be a
thing. Who knows?
So I know you've spoken about some of the issues you went through with your second baby.
Yeah.
Do you know, are there any other risks that you know of when it comes to IVF? I know you've said about possibly having twins. Any other risks that you were kind of told about that you had to consider before you decided to have IVF?
as in during pregnancy or with the process or both?
I guess with both, really.
The only other thing that you have to be careful about is ovarian hyperstimulation, which unfortunately is what I got. That is the only thing they warn you about. Once you're pregnant, they have no worries whatsoever. Nothing changes comparative to a normal pregnancy. So with that...
It's quite an incredible process, isn't it? I knew it was a very complex process, but I didn't know how in depth it really was. And I guess it can be quite emotional for someone to go through that.
Yeah, completely. It is an emotional roller coaster. And I did, since I've had Edith, I know somebody else as well that's had the exact same as me. We both now have panic attacks and we never had them before. But I think it's the level of drugs that your hormones go up and down and up and down. And especially with me having ovarian hyperstimulation, I think that didn't help. So I think definitely that is one of the things that you need to be careful of, side effects almost.
I'm assuming they check you along the way to make sure everything's okay and that you haven't anything like that.
Yeah, definitely. And it is almost, it's not a side effect of the pregnancy or the IVF. It tends to be a side effect of your own mind, which is why they offer you counsellors, things like that.
Yeah, and I think there's, like we said before, there's no shame in taking help, whether that's from a counsellor or anything like that. If it's there, take it.
Yeah, definitely. Because when I had counselling, I genuinely believed it was like you see on the television, where you go down and lie on a couch and they basically ask you what went wrong. It's nothing like that.
it's funny,
it's quite normal.
What we see on TV isn't always real life, you know.
No, I genuinely was like, oh god, she's gonna make me lie on this couch and she's gonna ask me what went wrong in my childhood and I'm not gonna know. And I got there and she was like, right, so talk to me about what you're feeling. I was like, oh okay, this isn't this bad. I'd had like a terrible thought process in my head, but it was all fine. So yeah, take it, definitely.
And just to end, because I just really want to know how it felt when you saw those pregnancy tests.
Yeah.
And you realised that you were actually pregnant. How did you feel?
First time, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I rang everybody straight away and told them all I was pregnant, because I'm not one of these people either that hides the fact that I'm having IVF. Everybody in my world knows that I'm having IVF at the time. Yeah. I can't keep it a secret. I'm terrible at secrets. Second time, I took a pregnancy every day for 30 days because I genuinely didn't believe it.
Oh, bless you.
Matt would be
still
like,
pregnant. Still pregnant.
Yeah. He'd be like, have you taken another pregnancy test yet? Why? I just did.
Oh, that's amazing. I can just imagine that feeling when you saw them pregnancy tests. It must have just... I don't know. I mean, for anyone to find out they're pregnant is incredible. I remember when I saw my first pregnancy test, it was amazing. When I saw the second time, I said to my husband, you need to go and check that because it says we're pregnant. And I don't think it's supposed to be.
Yeah, at least it's very more controlled in this situation. There's no shocks here.
Of course, yeah, because you're planning and you're waiting for it, aren't you?
Oh, you can literally put in whatever date you want. I didn't plan it very well because Edith was due on New Year's Eve. So I didn't plan it at all.
And was she born on New Year's Eve?
No, she was 11 days late, thank God. So,
well, my son was born on New Year's Day. So that was interesting. Watching the fireworks from the hospital bed. I'll never forget it.
No. Matt's birthday is the 28th of December, so I couldn't have two in a week.
No. So before we finish up, is there anything else you think that our listeners should know about IVF or any other parts of your story that we haven't touched on that you think are really important?
There's one thing that always surprises me. So people always say to me, oh, I can't believe neither of yours were twins. That's amazing, because IVF makes twins. No, the process of IVF doesn't make twins. It's how many eggs you get put back in.
Yeah.
So if you don't want twins, you don't have to have twins. You can still have one egg put back in. But so many people are like, oh, is that how it works? And I'm like, yeah, it's not. You don't just suddenly magically be able to have twins because it's IVF. but yeah, that completely baffles me when people are like, oh, you didn't have two then? I'm like, no. But yeah, so that's one thing. That's a complete myth that people baffle me with. But other than that, no, I think we've pretty much covered everything.
So Faye, is there anything that you learned during your IVF journey that you kind of still have now or you still think about now?
So the only thing that I have is I had panic attacks, as I previously mentioned, but I think that is mainly just my mindset. I don't think that is a secondhand symptom of IVF. That is just literally the way I have dealt with it, which is obviously one of those things that some people can have, some people don't have. And with Erin, I never had anything like that. So it is one of those things that is definitely just me.
Yeah, and I think with any process like IVF or pregnancies in general, every person is different, aren't they? Every experience is different. And I guess whatever you feel like you're going through, like we said, it's always good to talk to someone and yeah. We can relate to other people, but our journeys are our own, aren't they?
Yeah, completely. It's like with anything, your parenting journey is always different, your pregnancy journey is always different. So I suppose everybody's IVF journey is always different. It is one of those things that everybody's body are different, so you're always going to react in a different way. But it's not been a horrendous process for me at all. I actually am so thankful, and I am willing to go through IVF again because I want a third.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh wow, have you and your partner spoken about that? Is that something you're planning?
Yeah, we are currently moving to a bigger house to enable this to happen, and he keeps saying, are you sure you don't want a dog?
Are you sure you don't want a dog?
Yeah, are you sure? tends to be Edith eating her sock or something bizarre like that. So yeah, I would be definitely willing to do it again.
That's amazing. So if you do the process again and have another baby, then I'm sure Emma's Diary will have to have you back on to see how it goes a third time.
I'll be always pleasured to come back on.
Oh, thank you so much, Faye. It's been so lovely talking to you.
No problem.
Thanks for kind of giving us a highlight or a talk through IVF for you. And hopefully it gives people an insight as to what to expect and what they might go through and then what pregnancy's like. I think it's really interesting when you hear stories like yours. So thanks so much for sharing with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And before you go, where can people find you online to find out more about you?
Yep, so if they go over to my blog, it's www.glossytots.co.uk, and I do have an IVF section and I talk everyone's minds. Every single person that has ever read my blog's like, wow, you go into a lot of detail. There's literally detail about every step along the way. So if people want to have a check out that, they can do with pleasure.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Faye.
No problem. Thank you very much.
For ongoing support and advice on everything from pregnancy to the toddler years, visit emmasdiary.co.uk or download the Emma's Diary app, available on Apple Store and Google Play Store.